This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, and now we're hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. We say hello to our audience on DraftKings Network. You can see us on Samsung TV Plus, Roku, and I think Zumo Play, I believe, is the all the platforms you can catch us in motion picture here. But Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick and a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. We had a fun first hour. We thank Connor Allen, who joined us in the last hour, sports betting manager at 4for4 and BetSports. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll begin our college football discussion with Michael Felder, who does a lot of great work, college football analyst. He has a Substack where he writes a lot about college football. We'll get his thoughts on the marquee matchups. And we'll also do a little bit of Heisman talk as well with Felder, as this is a nice pivotal week in the Heisman Trophy race. And your boy has made a couple Heisman bets this week, and we will go over them.
We're
looking to corner it, Pritch.
You made a couple months ago.
We made a couple more this week.
A couple more. Okay. I'm going to keep counting.
But there is a curveball.
Okay.
There is a curveball, and we'll get to that in about 15 minutes. But let's begin this hour, though, with the marquee matchup in the afternoon time slot, and that is in the city of brotherly love. My beloved Dallas Cowboys going to Philadelphia to face the Eagles. Right now, the Eagles, 3-point favorites. And the market has just hung out here all week. Open right. 3, sits at 3. We've seen a little bit of movement on the total, though. This has gone up from 46.5 to now 47. And there are some maybe 47.5s potentially out there in the near future. But when you break this game down here, a couple of NFC East teams, how do you see this one playing out?
Wow, I wish Dallas would have more matchups. I do. I mean,
same.
I think you go back to the beginning of the year when they could have added like a D-hop. They could have added somebody like that. I mean, look at this game. Imagine DeAndre Hopkins, going along with CeeDee Lamb and how he stepped up, how Dak and how McCarthy, it seems like they're on the right page now. They're healthy. The defense is still stout because you're going to need that against the Eagles, the matchup advantages. And there's so much familiarity in this game. There's no doubt the line is spot on, in my opinion. The market has it right now. So what do you do with the game? I don't know if the Eagles, the way that AJ Brown is playing, though, it's like, yeah, man, I'm close and I'm tempted to lay it. But then the teaser syndicate that I'm involved with,
hey now,
they have identified this game big time. So
okay,
it just has a teaser leg written all over it. It really does. But it's hard to lay 3 points for me when Dallas and that defense can really, really make a difference in the game, right? But A.J. Brown, I mean, I don't know how Dallas is going to stop him. Nobody's been able to stop him.
I think this is similar to the game that we saw a month ago when they went and played the San Francisco 49ers. I think this is going to be another one of those games where you really see the absence of Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah.
Because if you had Diggs and Gilmore as those kind of two boundary corners to go up against A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, then I think you could be cooking with gas. And Deron Bland has done a hell of a job in the absence of Trayvon. I mean, the guy has 3 pick sixes, and we're at the halfway point of the year. It's been remarkable what he's been able to do in terms of taking the football away. But I just think that it's another step up in competition. The way that A.J. Brown is playing so far this year, if not for Tyreek Hill doing what he's doing, we would all be raving about A.J. Brown. And there has been a lot of chatter about A.J. Brown, especially this week. I mean, the guy broke the receiving record for 125 plus receiving yards in 6 straight games. Like, that's insane what he's doing here. But I mean, he's red hot, and I don't think the Cowboys have an answer for him.
But I go back to the shift in coordinator too. I mean, Shane Steichen was a college quarterback. Brian Johnson was a college quarterback in the same system, that kind of thing. And he's calling the game differently than Shane Steichen is, right? And the emergence of whatever passing ability you want to highlight for Jalen Hurts has been incredible. Throwing Dallas Goedert, too. Johnson, as a coordinator, as a play caller, has really, he's shifted away from Steichen. And now you're seeing A.J. Brown. I don't know if it's the influence of the guy and chirping a little bit, because he does that.
He did chirp. he was the squeaky wheel after a couple of weeks, and now he's gotten all the oil.
Yeah, because the Eagles can run it, and they know they can run it. They know they can run it against any front. But now you implemented the dynamic duel, or certainly A.J. Brown, who could be the best receiver in the league right now, the way that he's playing. that's tough to stop. But then the Dallas front and what they can do, neutralize some certain things. And then offensively, Dallas just needed one more playmaker, though. I'll just take the points. But from a teaser standpoint, I feel comfortable there.
I think for me at three, this is probably the correct number. And I would just need a little bit more to back Dallas, because we've seen in these kind of marquee matchups, these litmus test games, they have failed. Mm-hmm. Like, they failed against the 49ers miserably, losing that game 42-10. And I'm just not sure if the Cowboys at least have that sort of punchback that you'd want to see when they're playing a team in their weight class. So maybe that this is the game that they show up and show out and give the Eagles a game. But I would want a little bit more than three to back Dallas. But I also I don't think I would lay three with the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, this to me feels like this is sort of buying high a little bit on Philadelphia, to where I would just pass the game. Like, as much as I would love to bet the game, like, I'm a Cowboy fan, it's a marquee game on the late afternoon time slot, but it's a pass for me. I can't get there only getting three with Dallas.
Yeah, and Jerry hasn't put that out there either. Like, remember San Francisco, he put it out there.
He put it out there.
That this
Super Bowl
is,
goes through San Francisco.
There you go. We're going to find out what we're made of.
There was a roadblock.
Whoops. You're not putting it out there now.
Detour.
So that's interesting that, you know, I don't know however you want to read into that. I'm not reading into it at all. I just look at, the things I look at, and I can't lay it like we've been talking about, but then pretty close. They're playmaker away from taking a point, so therefore I'm looking at teaser.
Yeah, from an injury standpoint, Tyron Smith didn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday. They said that he doesn't have to practice even today. As long as he does something in the walkthrough tomorrow, that maybe he'd be able to go. I think it's a little bit more positive than it was last week, but still, Tyron Smith, I mean, dealing with like a stinger, you never know how that's going to feel when he wakes up Sunday morning. So I would kind of tread carefully there. If he doesn't play in this game, that offensive line, we know Dak doesn't play as well when Tyron Smith isn't in the starting lineup. So just something to keep in mind if you're looking to bet the Dallas Cowboys. Sunday Night Football, we've talked with our guests about this game here, but want to get your thoughts on it. Bills at the Bengals, Cincinnati, 2-point favorites, total 50.5. Was last week more of what's to come here for Cincinnati? Was it their annual Halloween turn as they head off to becoming a contender? Or was it maybe a blip in the radar here, and maybe there's value in backing the Buffalo Bills here, who Josh Allen, good to go, not on the injury report?
I mean, it's an opportunity to take the home team under a field goal, to be honest with you. I think Cincinnati, with the confidence of going into Buffalo and being more physical than them in the playoffs and really taking it to the Bills, I think that attitude is still within the Bengals. They're playing better offensively. They're playing like they should have been playing at the beginning of the year. Buffalo, more of the same. If I look at Buffalo, they really should be 4-4 right now. Go to the Giants, right?
Yeah.
They should be, come on, that wasn't PI, by the way. They should be 4-4. Absolutely 4-4 with a regression gene, and then also you got Josh Allen with a choke gene. I'm not going to relent on that. And this is a type of game where that type of choke gene emerges for Josh Allen. They're more of the same. I think they do have some matchups. I love Connor's play with Dalton Kincaid from a prop standpoint because he's more of a receiver. And he's building up a lot of confidence, and certainly the rapport that he has with Josh, that's pretty good. But in terms of the game, I just think Cincinnati is kind of oiling up right now.
It does feel that way.
Yeah.
Because it feels a little bit like it's almost too easy to bet Cincinnati after what we saw last week. Mm-hmm. But then again, it's also like you have to kind of throw out the data, because I feel like this line touched 3 earlier in the week. And I believe a lot of like sharp bettors, professional bettors, went ahead and bet that Buffalo plus 3, just because if you just look at the 2023 data, it's no way can Cincinnati be a 3-point favorite against Buffalo. In fact, it's probably, you're probably saying wrong team favored if you just look at 2023 data. But the data that we talked about in the first hour is that you gotta have to throw that out in a weird way. Like, that goes against everything that I think that we have learned as bettors and all that stuff. But you kind of have to throw out everything that was before the bye week when Burrow wasn't healthy, and sort of have to look at what we saw last week. And that can be a little bit dangerous, just using one data point to go ahead and just use that to bet on. But man, I just don't know what to do with the Bengals at this point in the season. Like, I need to see a couple more weeks before I feel confident placing a wager in this game. But I can see the argument for both sides as to why people are like, hey, Cincinnati's just oiling up and getting ready to go. And the other side of saying, hey, not so fast. Let's play off of and play against what we saw a week ago.
Sure, I can understand that as well. But looking at the fact that the familiarity aspect's there, Like, yeah. Now, November, I've been talking about matchups, individual matchups all shows so far, and that's going to be prominent in this game. Individual matchups, who's going to be able to win those individual matchups, and who's got the better playmakers or a collection of them? And Cincinnati under a field goal at home. I mean, yeah. A divisional type of game. The thing about Buffalo, too, Fim, away right now, they're 1-2 away, right? And I'm trying to remember a marquee game. And, you know, we want to focus on Kansas City, certainly in the playoffs. But Buffalo on the road, playing very well and just solidifying a victory. I'm trying to think of one right now.
Yeah, there's not one that jumps out, to be honestly.
Yeah, like a marquee type game like this is.
Though. I mean, hey, we saw week one against the New York Jets when Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles. They still found a way to lose that game to Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Zach Wilson didn't do anything but hand the ball off to Breece Hall.
Right,
and they won the game.
There's a choke gene. There's a choke gene for Josh Allen.
I think it's like there's like a lack of composure there with Josh Allen. And like, and I love Josh Allen. I love his style of play. I think he's one of the more exciting players in the league. But sometimes he just gets a little bit over his skis. It's like, dude, like you don't have to like win the Super Bowl on second down.
Right.
You know? Right. Like, and it feels like he's trying to do that sometimes to where you are more susceptible to mistakes. And those mistakes, when you play against marquee teams, those can be backbreakers.
Right, right. Because he's everything to the offense, you know, and he's got to sometimes be the leading rusher, whether it's scrambling or play by design to run the football. But I'm trying to just jog the memory here real quick live on air about when Buffalo has really shown up in a primetime marquee matchup.
Yeah, I mean, Dolphins at home, but that's at home.
At home. I'm talking about on the road. On the road.
Crickets. It will not be crickets in the next segment. We're talking about the damn Heisman Trophy when we come back.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abefefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's no better time of the year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now and get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120, including daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus all our exclusive betting content for college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, and the NFL draft. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abefefe, Mike Pritchard here, joining us in 15 minutes. Michael Felder, college football analyst. He has an awesome Substack. It's felder.substack.com. We will have him on to break down the marquee matchups in college football. But to sort of set the table for this college football weekend, we talked about the NFL and how this is a pivotal weekend for MVP. Also, Pritch, very pivotal weekend for the Heisman Trophy. And right now, the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy is Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr., who, if you watch the Huskies the past couple weeks, it's a little shaky, I think, to say the least. Close call with Arizona State at home. And then last week, a game that was way too competitive against Stanford on the farm. But the Washington Huskies do have a marquee matchup this week, as Penix will be going up against last year's Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb Williams. Penix is the favorite. J.J. McCarthy of Michigan is the second choice at plus 360. Jaden Daniels, talk about a marquee matchup. He will be playing in Tuscaloosa this week at 4-1. Bo Nix, 5-1. Jordan Travis, 8-1. Marvin Harrison Jr. at 10-1. And I'll just stop there because I think after that, the other guys would need a minor miracle to go ahead and get into the conversation. But when you look at the market, before I give my big spiel and reveal who I bet, when you look at the market, is there anyone that you would like to bet before this week's marquee game?
Bo Nix is gaining momentum. Just, you know, if you follow the people, the voters and people interested in this or the narrative, because it's like an outside narrative. Like, I wouldn't want to play Oregon right now, that kind of thing, right?
It felt like that was a narrative this week.
Yeah, yeah. So he's got, I think he's got a ton of momentum behind him, but he's got to complete it though, right? But the narrative is there. For Bo Nix, and as long as he's been in college football.
going on a decade now, I believe.
Pretty much. Outside of that, you know, like you said, I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. a little bit because he's a non-quarterback that really is attractive from that standpoint. But no, nothing. I think it's up for grabs, to be honest with you. I think the Heisman Trophy is up for grabs. And that's probably why Bo Nix has a lot of momentum, or Oregon does, certainly.
Yeah, no, Oregon definitely, after the impressive performance last week, beating Utah, which, I mean, not many people go into Rice-Eccles Stadium and win, let alone win in the fashion that Oregon did, 35-6. Like, it wasn't even close what they did to Utah, out-physicaled them and everything in that game on the road. And now that has brought Bo Nix back into the conversation after the loss a couple weeks ago to the Huskies. But Harrison is interesting, because I want to ask you, as a wide receiver, like, obviously, you were a tremendous player at Colorado, won a national championship. When you see Harrison, like, the numbers aren't quite what a right wide receiver would be like for the win the Heisman. Like, Devontae Smith had 23 touchdowns and, like, was just ridiculous his year. And then the other wide receivers, like the Desmond Howards and, like, all, like the Tim Browns of the past, those guys also helped out in the return game, which Harrison doesn't do. Do you think Harrison actually has a chance to win this thing?
No, not from a pure wide receiver standpoint. I mean, even when a Rocket, you know, my years and even myself, I got Heisman votes, but it was because
talk to him, Prince.
I gotta let him know, Femi. it was because of the other things, though, like all purpose.
Yeah.
So Marvin Harris, from an all-purpose standpoint, isn't there. So he's a pure wide receiver. Okay, what is he doing that's going to garner that type of attention to win the Heisman? Just from a pure receiving standpoint, you mentioned Devonta Smith with 23 touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
How many touchdowns? I didn't even look at the stats for Marvin in terms of touchdowns.
I believe he has like 7 or 8 touchdowns.
7 or 8.
This season.
Yeah. I mean,
so he's well behind Smith's pace.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to go off, and he's capable of doing that. I mean, the games that they have on their schedule too, all really. I mean, Ohio State always going to play those marquee situations, but that one's far fetched to me.
8 touchdowns. So Harrison, 48 receptions, 889 yards, 8 touchdowns. He's currently 6th in the nation in receiving yards behind like marquee guys like Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, then Elliott's guy, Missouri's Luther Burden has a 6-yard lead on Marvin Harrison.
Even Tim Brown, I think, was all purpose, right? Yep. You mentioned Desmond. I'm just trying to remember all these guys, but a lot of it was all purpose, kind of mentioning.
But what those guys might not have had, though, Pritch, is one hell of a nickname. And I don't know if you've been watching these Ohio State broadcasts, but it's Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt have done a lot of them. Yeah. And Gus Johnson has nicknamed Marvin Harrison Jr. Maserati Marv.
Yes.
Which, I mean, as funny and maybe slash cringy as it sounds, it has really built this Heisman case for him. Because when you look at the recent Athletic straw poll, so the Athletic does a straw poll this week. They polled 33 riders and asked them to rank their 1, 2, and 3 currently in the Heisman Trophy race. And right now, the number one vote getter for first place votes is one Maserati Marv.
Wow.
Out of the 33 votes, Harrison got 15 first place votes. Number two was Michael Penix with 7. Number three was Bo Nix at 5. Jaden Daniels was number 4 with 4 first place votes. And then JJ McCarthy came in 5th with 2 first place votes, which to me, that screams, because his reputation is sterling, and he is, in my opinion, the best player in college football right now. Like, maybe statistically he's not, but like, everybody's raved about his draft prospects and what he is. Like, he is just an unbelievable football player. Numbers might not be there for what wide receivers have done in the past, but he has such an awesome reputation, and he now plays for the number one team in the country, to where, Pritch, I think if Ohio State beats Michigan, I think Maserati Marv's going to win the damn Heisman. Like, I think that's where we're sitting right now.
Somebody bet on Marvin Harris to win Heisman. Somebody in this room bet on Marvin Harris Jr. to win Heisman.
Who amongst us has a Maserati Marv Heisman ticket?
Wow.
Pritch, that person is me.
Yeah, I know.
That person is me. We have added. Okay, so.
Yes, you have.
So just
you're
to
just
give
trying the, to like corner everything. The market, wide receiver, quarterbacks.
I mean, so as somebody who bets on a lot of awards, like baseball awards, NFL awards, NBA awards, like one thing that you have to do when you bet on these awards is that sometimes you have to kind of listen to the people who do the voting. And not every person that participated in the Athletic straw poll has a Heisman vote, but I'm sure they also think similarly to people who do have Heisman votes. And I had no position on Maserati Marv, Marvin Harrison Jr., leading into this week. But when I see that and I see him at 12-1, like, you're telling me that this guy, in the opinions of the people who vote on this type of stuff, with 1 month to go, is far and away ahead of 15. The next close person was Penix at 7. 15 first place votes for Marvin Harrison Jr., and he has the biggest game of the season on deck. Now, Michigan will be a favorite, probably right. 6-point favorite, maybe 7-point favorite when we get there. But Michigan, I mean, Ohio State's not going to be 12-1 to win the game. Mm-hmm. They're going to be much shorter than that, like around like plus 200 in that range. Like, give me 12-1 that Ohio State can beat Michigan. I'll take that all day to where so, if he wins that game, I think he wins the Heisman.
So if you're in Michigan, why are you going to let Maserati Harrison or Maserati Marv, why are you going to let him beat him? Or like, if he's the only guy on Ohio State, you're not going to let that one guy beat you. Hey. Like if Maserati was a kick returner, a punt returner, mm-hmm. okay, wait a minute, that's different. Like, you know, that's a rocket, right? That's,
yep.
That's Desmond. That's Tim Brown. That's all these guys. But that to me, from the betting standpoint, it's like, it's the biggest game in front of him. But what kind of impact is he capable of having in that game if Michigan is on their job?
Well, I thought Penn State would be on their job, and all he did was go for 10 and 150 and a couple touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like, you know true. What I mean? Like sure. a lot of these, I mean, he's line one when you look at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And they're still letting him go off. And I think what the big shift as well for Ohio State is that Kyle McCord has realized, hey, I have the best player in college football on my team. If I'm ever in trouble, I'm just going to throw it in his direction. Mm-hmm. And that's added to his production. Like, he started a little bit slow, didn't have a big game against Notre Dame. But like, Notre Dame took him out of the game. Also, he got hurt in that game as well. But they took him out of the game. But ever since then, he has been on a tear so far this season. So I added him at 12-1. I also made another bet on Heisman as well, Chris. We also made another bet.
Okay.
We added more Bo Nix at 6-1. We went ahead and doubled down more Bo-dacious. No. The Heisman candidate, Pritch, my hot take is that I actually think of all these Heisman candidates, Bo Nix has the best chance to win the award. Mm. I actually think he should be the favorite right now. Well, actually, Jaden Daniels should be the favorite right now, but I think LSU is going to lose on Saturday. After LSU loses on Saturday to Alabama, I think Bo Nix should be the Heisman favorite, because if you look at Oregon's path and his production, Oregon will be favored in every single game the rest of the way, including when they play Washington here in Vegas for the Pac-12 title game. I think if he runs the table and puts up the numbers that he can possibly put up based on what he's done so far this year, if Maserati Marv doesn't beat Michigan, mm-hmm. I think Bo Nix is going to win the Heisman.
You know, I'm not even mad at the fact that you tripled down on Bo Nix.
Add more, baby.
You said double. I think you're at triple.
Just double.
Okay. No, I'm not even mad at that because I there's so much momentum, and it's like a groundswell of momentum too, because people can't wait to back Oregon.
They look good last Saturday.
They do. And you know, it's the Pac-12. They're breaking up, and Pac-12, a very competitive conference, and all this stuff. It's there.
Yeah.
Can Bo Nix complete it with you, though? Can he help you out? I mean, I'm not even mad. Got to win the games.
They're 24-point favorites against Cal this week, so you better take care of business there. Also, J.J. McCarthy at Michigan. I think this whole scandal, I think that's going to hurt him in winning a popularity contest. I don't see that going well for J.J. McCarthy. Michael Felder, college football analyst, joins us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard here hanging out at the Circa Resort and Casino. It was a nice conversation in the last segment about the Heisman Trophy. Mm-hmm. So just to update, my Heisman bets, I had Jaden Daniels 30-1, Bo Nix 30-1. I had some Dylan Gabriel at 12-1. This week we have added Marvin Harrison Jr. 12-1, and we have added more Bo Nix at 6-1 here at Pritchard. But you brought up an interesting point, though, about the Heisman being also a television show and who might be able to make it to New York.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just more fuel to the momentum, I guess, with Marvin Harrison Jr. Because you got a collection of quarterbacks and everybody's, you know, the favorites up there. They're going to be in New York. And, you know, is Caleb Williams going to be in back-to-back? No, he's not.
No.
So where do you go now? And I think from a production standpoint, throwing in Marvin Harrison Jr. Remember when Randy Moss was invited to the Heisman?
It was Manning, Leaf, Woodson, and Moss.
Right. I mean, that was theater, really, because Randy Moss could have won
from Marshall.
From Marshall. He literally could have won the Heisman. And so it's like that. It's got that feel to it, that production style. Because when you talked about the polling and all that, it's like, okay, let's build this show and include Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, I will say this. because you might have convinced me. If he goes off against Michigan,
curtains.
I mean,
it's over,
right? Because Michigan is going to design a defense to stop that player.
Yeah.
And if they can't do it, and he's that impactful in that game, okay. And now we're talking, and it's 10-1 right now.
Yeah, and it's sitting there at 10-1, yeah. So it's solid value. I will say though this, because like I don't want to be dismissive of Jaden Daniels, because like I do have Jaden Daniels 30-1. That mm-hmm. ticket has aged pretty nicely. Look, right now I think he would be the Heisman winner, but he has a big game though coming up on Saturday in Tuscaloosa. And right. to help us break down that game, we're bringing in our buddy Michael Felder, college football analyst. Check out his Substack, which you can find out on his Twitter. It's felder.substack.com. Michael Felder, it's been a while since we've chatted, and let's carry the conversation that Pritch and I have been having here. We were talking about the Heisman Trophy right now, as we have turned the calendar to the month of November. Who is your Heisman winner at this moment, and who do you think will win it by the time we get to the end of the regular season?
I think it's Michael Penix, honestly. I think it's Penix. I think he's so good and plays on such a team that's so offense forward. It's going to be really tough for somebody. I mean, Kyle McCord is not going to win the Heisman, and Carson Beck is not going to win the Heisman. Even Jalen Milroe, they're not going to win the Heisman, even though they might be on better football teams, especially like more well-rounded football teams. I don't think they're going to win. They can't win the Heisman. So you look at Michael Penix, that's my guy. That's the guy that I'm riding with. If he can take care of business and get them to the playoff, Michael Penix is number one with a bullet.
You know, Michael, it's interesting because it's such that narrative situation, right? And the journey from Michael Penix is incredible. Like if he didn't transfer, right. What would his draft stock be, or what would his career be, or you know, his path be, right? Same thing with Bo Nix, and it's like I wonder what type of situation the voters will have when they're trying to build that narrative with those guys.
Yeah, I think the interesting part is like sometimes you, and this is something, and obviously we all work in the same industry, but at the end of the day, sometimes you have to move out to move up. Mm. And I've heard that my whole life with respect to like corporate jobs or like leaving a company and doing all this stuff. Guess what? This company is Auburn, or this company is Indiana, and they had to move out to move up. And Bo Nix would have never got to where he is without leaving Auburn. Auburn, I think, was suffocating for him. Like, you know, it's like everybody talks about these like these heavy weighted blankets and like how they help you. But like for Bo Nix, that weighted blanket was stopping him from achieving what he could do because he stayed in his home state. And with Michael Penix, a guy that goes to Indiana, yeah, you're the star and you're the guy. But at the end of the day, what happens is I got to go somewhere where they're going to let me really go crazy. And that's what they're doing at Washington. So he leaves Indiana, goes to Washington, and they really let him just like do his thing. So I think it's going to be really interesting. The Marvin Harrison Jr. of it all is another interesting aspect in this Heisman race, because he is very good, but also like his team, I don't know where Ohio State's going to end up at the end of the year. Cause if they lose to Michigan, are you going to, you don't, it's not the same as with a quarterback where you blame the quarterback for that. This is another instance where you're like, he still played a good game. He's still going to have 100 yards against Michigan. So what do we look at with this? And then you throw in Quinn Ewers' injury, you throw in Drake May and the two losses that UNC just had back to back against Virginia and Georgia Tech. The pool is getting smaller and smaller. So I'm interested to see what you guys think. Like, am I missing somebody?
I have a lot of Bo Nix bets that have been placed in, and I just told Pritch about how I added Marvin Harrison, aka Maserati Marv, to the pool, because I agree with you. Like, if they were to ever beat Michigan, I think if Ohio State beats Michigan, Harrison's just going to win, because everybody sees him as the best player in all of college football, and he is, in my opinion. His numbers might not be the traditional numbers that a wide receiver has gotten to win the award, but his reputation is just so high, and the fact that they beat Michigan finally over the last couple of years there, like, I think Harrison would actually just win the award.
What about Jordan Travis? Let me ask you, you guys are in Vegas. What about Jordan Travis? Because I look at Jordan Travis, and here's the thing. People don't realize this. So I grew up, I'm an 84 kid, right? So I grew up in the 80s, 90s, that era of Florida State football where they were amazing, unstoppable, untouchable. Jordan Travis is passing Charlie Ward and Chris Winkie in terms of what he's able to do, in terms of his numbers. His whole name, you might as well take the Florida State record book, throw it out the window, and just write Jordan Travis. Where does he fit for you guys? Because I look at him, and he's a difference maker. I really like him, too, as a contender.
You know, outside of Bobby Bowden not wanting to play the CU Buffaloes in the '80s, Michael,
let him know, Prince.
He didn't want to mess up the chances of a national championship game, so we played Tennessee instead. I think you're onto something right there. It'd be interesting because the whole Charlie Ward feel to it, right? A little bit. It's attractive price too, but I don't know if his narrative can ever become strong enough though over what we have in front of him.
No, I think you're spot on. And by the way, shout out to the Buffs. My high school football defensive backs coach, he showed us like, what is it, the Deion Figures teach tape.
Yep.
Showed us the Deion Figures teach tape, baby. So like, I'm in with you.
The Buffs. As long as Coach Prime doesn't steal Prish from us, I think we're all good to go. We're hanging out with Michael Felder here, college football analyst. Check out his Substack. It's felder.substack.com. Let's talk about the marquee game, though. We haven't mentioned Jaden Daniels. He's right up there among the Heisman conversation as well. His LSU Tigers taking on the Alabama Crimson Tide in Tuscaloosa. The Tide 3-point favorites, total 61.5. How do you see this game playing out?
I don't think it goes that high. I think Alabama gets their hands on them and they just like when Alabama puts their paws on you, you're in trouble. So that's what I'm looking forward to watching. How can Jaden Daniels kind of weasel out, right? Like that's what I'm looking forward to seeing. So I think this game goes under. I do think Alabama wins. The three, that's a great number. I wish there was a hook on it, if we're being honest. Because it might be a field goal game. But what we're really dealing with is a game where I expect Alabama to play very disciplined football. They're going to make Brian Kelly look really upset and angry. His face is going to be very bright red at the end of this football game.
Well, how about the game on the West Coast? This one also with a spread of 3. Yeah. USC 3-point home dog against Washington and Michael Penix, who you believe right now is the Heisman Trophy winner. The total is at 76.5. So a lot of fireworks expected with those two offenses.
Go over. Like, come on. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Realistically, Washington might score 76 points themselves. This USC defense has not stopped anyone at all. And USC, they need a win, obviously, to stay in Pac-12 championship contention. But at the same time, you look at Washington, I think Washington needs this win even more because they struggled the last 2 weeks, right? Or two, they had a bye week, but they struggled the last 2 weeks where the last two games, excuse me. They struggled and they haven't been able to put points up. And we're going to see if we get a healthy McMillan. We need a healthy 3-man wide receiving core. And Penix has to go out and do his thing. But I also think their defense really kind of, their defense held them like 10 toes down for the last two games. 7-point win in the Pac-12, holding opponents to 7 points. In college football today, that's a masterful feat. That doesn't happen normally. And so I think their defense is obviously better than USC's. They've got an opportunity to make a play. I know we got a short time. What else you got?
Well, in about 20 seconds, how about Missouri a chance to get inside that number against Georgia?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No
hesitation.
No. We don't need 20 seconds.
Georgia's out for it. They are going. I wrote about this for The Messenger, and this is a team. They're on a mission, and they are on a mission. They're going to get it. They're going to beat the wheels off of them.
Yeah. And all the motivation they needed was to be number 2 in the most recent college football playoff poll. Right there, the 2-time defending national champions. He is Michael Felder. Check out his Substack. It's felder.substack.com. Michael, we appreciate the time as always. Be well.
You guys take it easy.
Awesome. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. This is The Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit vsin.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. Welcome back. It's the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard. Fun show that we've had here. Thank you to our two guests, Connor Allen, sports betting manager at 4for4 and BetSports. And also thank you to Michael Felder, college football analyst. Check out his Substack. It's felder.substack.com. Fun conversation with Michael Felder in the last segment, talking Heisman and the marquee matchups that we will see tomorrow. Bad news for our guy, Elliot Mizzou. Michael didn't even hesitate. He said Georgia. The Bulldogs are definitely feisty after being ranked number two.
We were running out of time. I said about 20 seconds, and he didn't need 20 seconds.
He said Georgia.
Georgia.
Between the hedges. So good luck to your Tigers there, Elliot. But before we move forward, let's get to our pro tip. This one does come courtesy, though, of Connor Allen. Mm-hmm. And this was talking about this Bengals and Bills game. And it's kind of when you're handicapping, just be careful using the entire season's data on an NFL slate when there is important context that is needed, especially with the Cincinnati Bengals offense. As we saw pre-bye week, Burrow's hurt, banged up receivers, banged up offensive line. It looked a lot different last week against San Francisco.
Yeah, you know, leaving the gridiron and you know, stepping into the sports betting arena, I always got captured by recency bias years ago. But now it because I wanted that question to Connor, because I'm still trying to gauge everybody on that recency bias thing. And there's a theme of that when you're factoring in how well the team is playing lately, you know, the last few games. Because football, the separation in football is consistency. I think in all sports, competitive sports or professional sports, the separation is consistency. There's always going to be flashes. We're always going to see, you know, a Will Levis throw for four touchdown passes. All of a sudden, oh, my God, Will Levis, right? And then, you know, he's not going to look that way again. But then how do you eliminate recency bias? I mean, I guess I'll equate it to, okay, who's been more consistent or who's captured consistency? And I guess that's how I grapple with the recency bias aspect.
Yeah, no, it's a fight amongst us as bettors. And I think that's the fight for me here in this Bengals-Bills matchup, because like we said, it seems kind of almost too easy to click Bengals Lang too. you know, it feels like you're falling into the recency bias. But then again, the full picture paints it's kind of clouded. It's a little bit noisy, the data, the full picture data, because the Bengals' most important player was compromised before the bye week. So it's hard to kind of take any of that into context as well. So tricky, tricky matchup. I wish everyone who's betting this Bengals-Bills game all the best of luck, because I will not. Before we get to some of the other NFL games, big news, though, out of Los Angeles. Rams head coach Sean McVay says Matthew Stafford will be a game-time decision as they take on the Green Bay Packers Sunday afternoon. Right now it is a 3-point spread, total sitting at 38.5. If it's not Stafford, it's looking like it'll be Brett Rippon. Stafford, of course, jammed up his thumb pretty badly in the loss of the Dallas Cowboys last Sunday. But man, if it ain't Stafford, whew, I mean, do we end up closing 4.5 here with the Green Bay? I think this could go either way based on who's playing quarterback for the Rams, obviously.
Well, recency bias too. I mean, you can throw a quarterback matchup out the window, really. The way that the quarterback situation is in Green Bay, LaFleur under fire a little bit. I wonder how that was going to happen, if that was ever going to happen. The front office is under fire. But Brett Rippon probably has not had a great week of practice if Stafford is a game time decision, because you would love to have a guy who you try to trade an offseason, and he's got those injuries. Game time decision, what is that? You gonna shoot his thumb or what's gonna, seriously?
I was gonna say, like, can you even numb the thumb? He needs that to grip the football, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna do a tape job on it to see how it feels, but he didn't practice. So how well is he gonna play? I mean, to me, that kind of stuff is so informative. Like, Brett, because if Brett had a great week of practice, Stafford's out, right? I mean, but there you go. You're trying to be competitive. You're trying to win a game. And, okay, game time decision for a quarterback that understands the offense but hasn't practiced. And you want to see how his thumb feels before that football game.
So if we get to 8:30 Pacific time Sunday morning, inactives come out, Matthew Stafford inactive, is that an automatic bet for you for Green Bay just based on like reading the tea leaves of that, hey, maybe this is a bad sign how Rippon has played in practice so far?
Do I want to lay 3 points though, right? I mean, with the Jordan team Love. That's been struggling. Yeah, I mean, it's a stay away, complete stay away. Complete stay away for me in this game because there's nothing compelling for me to take Green Bay. You know, the Rams, they've overachieved from what they were supposed to be this year, right? And in a sense, it's interesting because you wonder if McVay is trying to drive that Nacua train and try to, okay, rookie of the year, that kind of thing. And so
third in receiving yards.
Right, yeah, there's a lot of factors in this game that could provide some motivation for the Rams too.
Yeah, it's the Rams. It just feels like the wheels are starting to kind of fall off a little bit. The longer we're heading into the season, the more that their depth is being tested. Mm-hmm. And we knew that this wasn't one of the deeper teams in the NFL. So last Sunday, maybe it's a sign of what's to come down the road here for the Los Angeles Rams. Real quick before we get out of here, we got 4 minutes left. What are you thinking about in Survivor? Because you are still carrying the torch for the Lombardi Line Survivor here.
So is a lot of other people, though.
A lot of other people are carrying the torch as well. But just for us here on the Lombardi Line, we're relying on you for this $9.2 million, Pritch. Come on now. Let's go.
You know, there's a path being mapped out, you know, in talking.
Is there a light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, it's a popular path, though. Like, obviously, yeah. I mean, I think everybody's going to be on Cleveland.
If they have them available,
because the theme has been the big home favorite, and that's been carrying you through.
Browns up to 10 point favorites, by the way.
Yeah, but the path is crowded, and you wonder if when at some point game theory and all this or how many entries you have. If you only have one entry, you're going to be on that popular path, right? And so I wonder how that's going to play out. But yeah, I mean, I think Cleveland's going to be the play this week.
So Cleveland, 10-point favorite. Baltimore is a 6-point favorite. New Orleans, 8.5-point favorite. Mm-hmm. And those are kind of your three biggest favorites. Like, which of those teams, whether it's Seattle, Cleveland, New Orleans, which do you think is most likely to kind of upset the popular paths and end up losing on Sunday?
Well, I can't trust New Orleans. I know D. Carr is playing better. I know the defense is stout. We always hear about the defense, but it's Dennis Allen and all that. But they're not going to lose to the Bears, right? They're not going to, are they?
Maybe there's a secret Bajan in the Survivor.
This is the type of game, though, that the Saints have cost me over the last couple of years, man. And I have no faith in that. But, you know, who do you want to burn? Like, you know, I think Cleveland at this point is because of what they have in front of them, too. It's like maybe this is the best time to use them, right? You mentioned Seattle, I think, right?
Yeah, Baltimore is a 6-point favorite against the Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, we've already burned up Baltimore. We did that last week. So,
there you go.
Because Chargers are Baltimore, right? And so Baltimore is starting to play better. But Pete Carroll, it's just one of those situations. The path was Cleveland or is Cleveland. Okay. At this point, yeah.
Do you think Seahawks can hang within the number? I kind of do.
Like, I do too.
I do a little bit like Seattle too. Plus six.
You know, DK,
I haven't bet it yet, but
DK is that volatile character though. DK, because he didn't practice. He practiced on Wednesday, didn't practice yesterday. Took a day off for whatever reason.
Maybe it was punching a punching bag or something.
Maybe doing some curls or something. but yeah, he's volatile that way. But they have enough, and then Geno's volatile too. But defensively, I think the Seattle Seahawks can hang with the Ravens.
It does feel like their defense is coming along, but I do kind of get a little bit of a feeling similar to the lead up to the Lions and the Ravens tour. It's like everyone's talking about this Lions defense, but they really hadn't played that many great quarterbacks. And Seattle over the last month, it's been hurt Joe Burrow.
Right.
It's been Andy Dalton. It's been like these guys who were just not really good. Daniel Jones behind a makeshift offensive line, you know, PJ Walker.
Right.
Now it's Lamar Jackson, who's at the peak of his powers. A little bit different of a scenario here for the Seahawks in terms of their
Excuse me. Peak of his powers. I like that.
Peak of his powers.
I like the peak of his powers aspect of it.
I got it in before I sneezed, too.
Is he a sneaky MVP?
I think he is.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's sneaky. I think he's definitely in the conversation. Okay. And based on what happens with the other results here with the marquee matchups, like, Lamar could be second, third choice by the time we wake up Monday morning to win MVP.
Wow.
And they're sitting at, if they're sitting at 7-2 with everything out in front of them.
They're healthy.
They are healthy. For once, the Ravens, healthy. As healthy as they've been since the last time Lamar won MVP back in 2019. That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. Thank you to our producer, Elliot Bowman. Thank you to everybody behind the glass. For Mike Pritchard, I'm Femi Bebefe saying best of luck. Coming up next on the DraftKings Network, Pablo Torre here at VSiN. It's Sharp Money. Hang with us.